is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, now Executive Vice President Stevens, Inc., helping me understand the breaking news from China. Mary was many years in Hong Kong for the Wall Street Journal. She traveled widely in Asia. She also is very carefully speaking of Hong Kong as past tense because the city today is darkening. The lights are going off all over Hong Kong. However, we begin with the breaking news, the breaking market news, because these last months there's been the open question. The decisions made to withdraw the IPO of Ant Group many months ago in 2020, was that a program, a plan, or was that ad hominem to Jack Ma, a very well-to-do man and a member of the Communist Party who had spoken out in criticism in some fashion of the leadership in Beijing? Now, since then, we've had a series of events. The Didi IPO clawed back in some fashion. The recommendation from China that there'll be no more IPOs outside of Shanghai and Hong Kong. And most recently, the clawing back or the shutting down of VIEs, which are used or which have been used in order to supply tutors to the families of China, the mainland, because the ambitious children and their ambitious parents want to do well in the testing mechanism that leads to prosperity. But now all of that is at issue. And this morning I learned from the Wall Street Journal front page that the authorities in Beijing have decided that Tencent must be in some way constrained because of its online gaming opportunities. This has caused a blow to an extremely successful stock along with Alibaba. Mary, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. Your experience in China was on the upswing, the growth of the country over many years. What we're observing now is strange, strange territory. How do you read these serial declarations by the Central Committee of the Communist Party against what we understand to be the capital markets? Good day, Mary.
Good day, John. It's great to be with you and your audience again. I think one of the biggest mistakes that investors make or political analysts or journalists or anybody who's looking from the outside into China is they tend to look at it from our perspective. So when you speak of markets, you assume that the Chinese authorities and the regulators and the politicians are looking at markets with the same goals as we might have, which is to increase prosperity and growth and investment. And they simply have different priorities. I look at these recent spate of actions, whether it's from the Chinese regulators on tech or education companies or transportation, as part of a larger theme of Xi Jinping's rule over communist China. And that is one word, control. From the moment that he took over, General Secretary Xi worked very quickly to exert control over his political rivals. You'll remember the crackdown that he did on party elites, most notably Bo Xilai, early in his term. Bo was a contender for the leadership. Xi threw him in jail. Whether it's his control over the military, he has made himself supreme commander. And now I think you're seeing the third leg, which is to exert control over economic institutions or businesses that he perceives as working outside of the party, or perhaps they've gotten too big for him to control. So again, I think it's part of a larger theme, and I think it reflects the fact that decisions made in Beijing are not necessarily made with the same metrics in mind as we would make here in the free world.
I want to read from the Economic Information Daily about the online gaming decision. Most recent, it's in the headlines right now at the Journal, because in this translation, there's a suggestion that what we're dealing with are Victorian scolds. It's a puzzle. It's Back to the Future. It reads, quote, "Society has come to recognize the harm caused by online gaming, and it is often referred to as, quote, opium for the mind or, quote, electronic drugs." Mary, I read too much in text, but you understand. That's how I think. Opium, the mention of opium. That is a dark period in the life of China and the life of Europe. I'm puzzling here. What we're looking at is a sentimental version of Maoism. Everything from outside China is to be distrusted and disdained. China must be protected from the bad influences of Europe, of the United States. Knowing that online gaming originates in social media invention and genius of the U.S. Is that what we're looking at here? A closing down of China to the 21st century online exchanges?
Well, it's hard to say for sure because there's such a lack of transparency. And in fact, today we have fewer people inside China to give us a definitive answer to that question. One could surmise that the Xi regime wants to ensure stability. In other words, they want to make sure that their kids are not hooked on gaming and that they're focused on education and building up the party. One might surmise that, as you say, that they don't want or they feel that they don't need U.S. capital anymore. They want to be self-sufficient. It's hard to say. But again, I just go back to the first theme, which is that the party reigns supreme. And, you know, using the rubric of quote unquote private company in China is meaningless. There is no private company. Everything that is based in the mainland is subservient to the party and the party's goals, period. And I think that investors in the free world are just starting to figure that out. Call it the new China discount.
There's humor here. I was once a 12-year-old boy. You're familiar with 12-year-old boys, Mary. We find ways, and we learn from this shutdown. Tencent said Tuesday it would introduce new rules, starting with its flagship Honor of Kings game, that will enforce tougher limits on playing time than required by the authorities. So Tencent is trying to get out front of the Communist Party's scolds. Young gamers will be limited to playing for an hour on weekdays and 2 hours on weekends and holidays. And children under 12 can't make in-game purchases. Mary, there are two powers in the universe. One is water and the other is 12-year-old boys who want to play games. Good heavens. So again, I puzzle what's behind this. This reminds me of how the Chinese Communist Party's sense of control reached into family decisions about how many children they should have and limited a whole generation to one child. That has now led to the profound tragedy of China aging without a replacement cohorts in their teens and 20s. Now, we're looking again at the Communist Party thinking it can tell 12-year-old boys in families what they can and can't do. It's astonishing to me, Mary, because I've learned in my maturity that people find a way to take care of their families, and it's as if the old Maoists don't trust their own people.
Well, I'm not even sure that the correct comparison is Mao. I think you'd have to harken back to the Nazis with this kind of social engineering and the harshness of the measures that we're seeing. There's another phenomenon in China called lying flat, where the youth don't want to work. They don't want stressful jobs. There's an enormous amount of pressure on this generation of single children in China. And one might see this measure as an effort by the party to make sure that this generation of youth in the mainland works for a living and doesn't spend their day whiling away in front of a computer screen. But, you know, again, you have to step back from the micro level of what they've said and think about the broader implications here. The fact that you have a totalitarian regime ordering kids how many hours they'll spend on a video game, I mean, what's next? Are they going to tell them who to socialize with, who to marry, where to go, where to work? I mean, this is really deeply frightening. And the really scary thing about it, John, is that the party sells this kind of capability to other nations.
Right.
And it's not just, they're not just selling it to authoritarian regimes. They're selling it to free world regimes. You think about the quote unquote safe city software that they sold to police and other kinds of authorities to improve their surveillance capabilities. This is deeply worrying.
Mary, there is something else that China is selling, which is that the virus origins are zoonotic, natural. We have contravening material around the world, nothing definitive, including most recently an investigation by members of the House Republican Party concluding that the lab leak cannot be dismissed. I mention this in the context of the virus is always with us. Right now, the reporting is that the Delta variant, which is dominating in Europe and here in the United States, is also in China. There's no transparency here. We're told it's in many cities. We're told they're using the same methods they did the first time, which is to lock people in their homes. And we're also told that Asia's GDP will suffer because of the Delta variant. Is that a possible driver for this castigation of the way people live in China and the clawing back of assets? Is this the Chinese Communist Party's reaction to the virus in some fashion, Mary? I know that's an illogical question, but I'm guessing here.
Well, look, I think it's important to reiterate that the United States offered China assistance to fight the Wuhan virus from the very beginning. We offered to send health officials, medical help, anything that Beijing needed to contain the outbreak. And those offers of assistance were refused. So something that started in a city in China went on to become a worldwide pandemic affecting and killing hundreds of thousands of people and inflicting economic hardship on hundreds of millions more. So I just think it's important to say that every time that we talk about this virus, because it was a choice that this became a worldwide pandemic. Now, in terms of how severe the outbreak is now on the mainland, we don't know because our journalists can't get in there and they don't have any kind of free press or civil society or any sort of transparency. And the World Health Organization is denied access to what they need. I'm concerned about it because we know that the Chinese vaccines are not effective. And we know that, as you said, that they take measures to lock people in their homes. Well, that works for a period of time when they don't go outside, but eventually people have to go outside to get food and to do certain kinds of jobs. Not everybody can work from home, particularly in a country as poor as China. So, you know, I think that these outbreaks have to be monitored. I think the United States and other free nations have to exert an enormous amount of pressure on Beijing to open up because, as we've just seen, problems that they have there don't stay there. They come here.
Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, now executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated, many years in Hong Kong. And when we come back, I'll ask Mary to comment on the latest very unhappy news from Hong Kong. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.